It really comes down to the communication, the collaboration, expectations.
Welcome back to Tech Less, a podcast to help you feel less stressed and more focused to calm the chaos of consulting. Let's be inspired by the possibility that we can be happier by doing less in an industry obsessed with constant optimization. I'm your host, April Rest. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. It's great to have you here, Roz. I'd love to learn a little bit more about your background and your interest in launching your Salesforce advisory group. Can you tell us a little bit more about that background and launching that firm?
Yeah, I have been, April, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate having this time to talk with you about it. Salesforce has been in my life since 2003, and I've just done a little bit of everything except for development. Like, I am not the coder, but I've worked with a lot of different industries, as well as a lot of different companies, as well as a lot of different consulting companies. And over the years, I've had a lot of people just ask me more about what I do. And so that's how SF Advisory came to fruition, I'm able to share my knowledge with other people who want to understand the difference between, you know, doing Salesforce work on the side or doing it full time as a freelancer. And so with that, you know, I also like to bring people together, like-minded people, and also coaching them too. So again, that's how SF Advisory came about.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I, you know, before our chat today, I took a look at your background, and you've got decades of what looks to be fantastic experience, really from all facets, like you've mentioned, of, you know, the ecosystem and technology in the Salesforce space. So with that, I'm sure throughout your career, you've experienced some projects that have gone off the rails, or some projects that, you know, you faced some challenges on. What do you think leads to a tough project, or, you know, it might be a failed implementation, or maybe you were able to turn it around? You know, what do you think leads to a project kind of just not getting started well or having issues along the way?
Well, April, I will have to say, I've never had those projects. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sure everybody's laughing, right?
Right.
Oh, come on, really? You know, when I think about a failed implementation, and obviously there's a lot, right? And when it really boils down to it, it really comes down to the communication, the collaboration, expectations. Because there's so many different things, and I have so much to unpack. And so that question is like, well, where do we even start? I mean, I think about even just the very beginning. I like to set the expectations and really get an understanding of where is our clients going? What are they trying to accomplish? And how do we get there? And what I find is that I like to give it as an analogy. If you think about, actually just recently, I want to do a bathroom remodel. And I thought, yeah, I want my shower to be bigger. So my natural instinct is to go and start calling contractors for them to come out and bid out my bathroom. Well, I quickly found out I don't really know what I want. I just know I want a bigger shower. But then what does that actually look like? And then I'm able to also relate it to my work, where you go, you know, people come in and say that they want a Sales Cloud implementation, yet there's not enough information up front or planning for design as to what that actually looks like. What does that mean? And I will say that with my successful projects is that we actually have the time to go through all those questions and answers and really get a good understanding. Because I would say that probably about a good 75% of my time is really understanding what their business process is, what they want, what else is it touching. Because even with a Sales Cloud implementation, once you sell something, it's got to go somewhere else to continue the process, right? It has to go to finance to make sure that that you're paid, and it needs to go to whether it's the implementation or product, whatever it may be, whatever you're selling, right? And so excuse me. So with that, I went in and I was going through the different contractors and coming to the realization I really need to take a step back and actually do the planning myself. I need to get a designer. I need to understand my measurements. I need to give them a plan. So then at that point, I can give it to the contractors so they can bid it out and they know exactly what I'm looking for. So going back to your question, I think with failed technology or failed implementations is that there's not enough of that planning up front so that the team can actually execute in a good, efficient way. And sometimes they just need to be shown what is needed. And that's also great projects too, because sometimes clients don't know what they don't know. They just know that they may need a red button. And when you start asking more questions, it's like, well, is it candy apple red? Is it brick red? Is it a circle button? Is it an oval button? Like, let's have more questions. And I would just encourage anybody who is looking at engaging in a Salesforce project that they have somebody to ask a lot of those questions, because then the team can implement so much more effectively versus, me going in and I give you a red button of what I think you want. And you said, no, a little bit like this. And we change it and change it and change it. And eventually we'll get you what you want. But we do have to ask those questions. And the more detail you give us, the better solution we can provide you. So.
Yeah, I have a question. So sometimes I've run into clients where they might know what they want, but they might not know what they need. And I say that with a lot of confidence, as if I know what they need, right? But like, I have gotten clients in the past where they're asking for a particular solution before it really seems that they understand what the core problem is. So, like, tell me, with your experience, how do you navigate that? Has someone, like, when someone comes to you asking for a particular solution, like, is there a story that comes to mind?
Well, it's more like there's so many stories. Which one do I give you? I think that's where it comes down to the consultant, right? Where they are wanting something, and then as the consultant, you need to bring it back to what they actually really need, and even have the communications where they can understand that. So it's a little bit of an art, if you will, because you're engaging in them in a way where they understand that this is actually what they need. And as you can imagine, again, going back to the Sales Cloud implementation, the ultimate goal is that they need to track their sales process so they can have better reporting, right? That's what they need. But then they want, all these different automations. They want it to look pretty. They want. And when I hear that, I'm like, backlog, backlog, backlog.
Enhancement request.
Let us make sure that we have the process in place, that you get the reports that you need. Start there. And then I always tell clients, for whatever reason, they think that it's like a one and done implementation. And it's not. We really got to get to the understanding of minimum viable product, because there's going to be multiple iterations. And I also tell clients, also depending on the size, because if it's a smaller client, smaller budgets, there's only so much that we can do within their budget. With larger clients, there's so many other dependencies and other things we can do. But I set them up to understand that the first rollout is not going to be the final rollout. We're going to have some iterations. You're going to learn more. You're going to understand what the actual end user is experiencing and what they're needing. So, I hope that answers your question, April.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so going back to factors that lead to failed implementations, you mentioned communication, collaboration, unmet expectations. And a lot of that is in that project planning phase or lack of planning and design, if you will. What portions, if we were to go look at project planning or design, what do you put in place in your own work that helps you set up the project for success? Like, what does that process look like?
Yeah, so I like to look at it. First, we start off with the SOW because again, I'm on the implementation side, right? So as even as an independent consultant, I'll look at the SOW that was sold and I scrutinize it, honestly. I'm like, wait, how many hours did you give for this project? And then, talking to the team and really setting the expectations. It's like, okay, this is what's on paper, what was discussed with the client, because sometimes there's a disconnect there. You're laughing.
Sometimes.
But then I always want to do a project kickoff. And what that consists of is the salespeople, the implementation team, and then also the client. And so bringing us all together to make sure that we're all in alignment. There have been times where in that meeting where the people who signed the SOW, they bring in their internal team who is going to help with the implementation, give us requirements, et cetera. The person who signed the SOW has a different idea than who's the people who are actually going to implement it. As an example, the sales manager may be the one who is driving the initiative, who's signing the SOW and saying, I need these reports so I know what my team is doing, right? And then the team goes in and they're like, well, wait a second. As we're going through what's expected, they're like, wait, no, we also need whatever it may be. We need integration with something. We need this other functionality. Where is that? Hold on, that's not what we agreed to on the SOW. Let's get in alignment up front, please. And so I really work hard on making sure that that's there. And one other thing too is to understand who is the escalation point. So as we go down this happy path of getting this project done, if there are any issues, who do we need to contact? And I want to get that up front instead of later in the project because things can happen later on the project. So or even understanding who the backup is. So just understanding who the whole team is and what kind of resources I have available to me, who do I need to go to for certain answers, decisions, et cetera. So, but then as we go through the project status update, or I'm sorry, the kickoff, then I also set the expectations that we are going to meet on a cadence. And so, whether that is a daily stand-up, a weekly project status update, or sometimes, again, depending on the size of the client, it could be, every couple of weeks. So, again, setting the expectation. I've heard many times, and I've even gone into these projects where the client says, "Yeah, we told the consultant we wanted these things." They went off into their little hole, did all this stuff. We don't know what they did, but now things aren't working. And so now, here you go, Roz, fix it. Like, but did you have a weekly cadence? Did you communicate? Like, where's that part? No, he just went off and just did his own thing. I'm like, well, we're not going to do that. I
It's
need
hard to
input
believe
from you.
that still exists.
What was that?
I said it's hard to believe that still exists. Just that lack of communication and collaboration.
Yes. And so to add to that is that sometimes, in the meeting, as I prepare for the meeting, I'm going to have a list of questions I need answered. But sometimes I'm also in the midst of doing my stuff that I actually don't have any questions because I'm still in the middle of it. But it's still a nice cadence to keep because they may have questions about stuff. Something could have happened on their end that may have changed, may have something new became urgent. Whatever it may be, but having that consistent communication is important on both sides. So,
Well, even if you don't have something to update necessarily, it's still an opportunity to continue to grow that trust. which I find is critical in keeping projects like on the track. Or if they've gone off the track, like if you have a trusted relationship, it makes it a lot easier to get it back on track in alignment with the goals, I
And I
find.
think to add on to that trust portion of it, as you're looking at the org holistically and you're understanding their process more and more, and you're asking the right questions, you start building trust that way. And then also setting those expectations as to when you'll actually get things done. There are many times that I've even talked to my students where they feel overwhelmed because they have this long list of all these things that they need to do. And then the stakeholder says, "Oh, I actually need you to do this other thing." It's like, okay, great. I have these five things that is on my plate right now, and now you're throwing one in. So which one of these five things is going to be taken out of my list? Because again, common thing with consultants, it's like they keep getting all of these requirements, and it's like it's negotiations. If you give me one thing, you need to take one back. Because I either give me more time and money to do stuff, right? So we have to reprioritize. But many cases, I hear consultants just taking, then they find themselves working long hours. They're really not setting their expectations correctly. Or they underestimate, where they think, you and I both know updating a pick list value is very quick, right? And but I like to say, it's like, well, but there's other things that's involved with that. Like, what are the dependencies on these pick list values? What else is it, touching? Does that make sense in the business process? And then I got to test it, then I got to push it in the different environments. There's so that little part of updating a pick list value, yes, it may seem very small and easy to do. It's not.
Right. It's all the other complexity that surrounds it. Not to mention, I think you touched on this a little bit, is does it make sense in the business process? Does it make sense as an attribute to track? And what is the business going to be doing with that attribute? For sure. It's not as simple as just changing the value.
Yes, there's a lot to untangle with
Yeah,
that one.
it's a lot of critical thinking, and it's a lot outside of, the technical Salesforce hands-on configuration. So with your experience, your decades working on these projects, working with different consultants, being your own, independent consultant, where do you find the gaps, whether it's soft skills, technical skills, where do you see those gaps existing that lead to, unmet expectations, that lead to lack of collaboration, lack of communication in these projects?
Oh my gosh, April, such a big question.
It where you want.
How much time do we have? I with all the different consultants that I have worked with and that I have managed, I find that the common theme that I see is really asking the right questions. And sometimes I would say a good portion of it is experience, yes. Yet there are also other people who just don't do that enough or think of the whole process holistically. So I like to break it down to my students as essentially like a formula, right? Or like a if-then statement with all the exceptions, right? So even though you do this step, the happy path is yes, it's the step is completed. What happens when the step is not completed? What about that part? So a common thing of you're going through security, right? And you're going through the profiles, and say the requirement is that you need these two people to create an account. Excuse me. And you're able to do that. You can make sure that those two people create an account. You also have to make sure that it's only those two people creating the account. You also need to test that everybody else doesn't get that permission, right? So many times I see where, build our the happy path, but there's not enough people thinking or asking the right questions of, okay, well, what's the opposite? Are we fully
The
testing
negative
it?
testing.
Yeah. Because I found those too. And clients like, well, no, that's supposed to happen. I'm like, according to this ticket, it didn't specifically say that.
That upfront requirement and acceptance criteria. So in your own work, because I know you work with students or professionals, excuse me, to teach them some of these skills. Can you tell us a little bit more about that work that you're doing with SF Advisory?
Yeah, so I know that with SF Advisory, it's really geared towards people who've been in the ecosystem, who's been certified, who is been in there for an amount of time. It just really depends, but really have that entrepreneurial spirit in which they want to either make some extra money in addition to what they're doing currently, or if they actually want to go full force as a full-time freelancer. And so with that, the course really gets you from beginning to end. Again, the MVP, right? So you're going to get the steps as to how things to think about for getting new clients, how you can manage your projects, and how you can make sure that those clients come back and keep doing business with you. And so with that, we're able to collaborate and work with other people. And, like I said, I have a lot of experience with this, yet it's just me. There's other people who have different ideas or different experiences. And so I think that's the beauty of SF Advisory is that we come together and we talk about these things. And then I'm also able to leverage some of my other skills of providing like PDFs, additional content, things like that, so that they're successful with what they're doing because things are always changing. And it's not the technical portion of Salesforce because there's a lot of great information in Trailhead and some other blogs and resources that focus on that. I'm really focused on the business side of things as well as, higher level architecturally, how you want to build your consulting career.
And where can people find more information about this?
Yeah, so if you just go to sfadvisory.com, so SF like Salesforce, right? Sfadvisory.com. If you go there, there is actually a free assessment that you could take to give you an idea if you want to do like a side hustle, if you want to do freelance. And then there's also a way where you're able to register for a free webinar. So you have a good idea as to, starting your own Salesforce consulting freelance career.
Oh, I love this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'd
Yeah.
like
And
to
I love.
ask, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I like to ask one of my favorite podcasts, ask at the end, do you have a favorite quote? And that was a little tidbit that I'm copying for this podcast. So, Roz, is there a favorite quote out there you'd like to share?
Yes, I have many, but can I tell you a quick little story?
Please go for it.
So with my kids, I tell them certain things and I ask them, what are the things that you always hear from me, that I always tell you? And my little one says, change your mind and change your result. I'm like, I like that one. And then my daughter, she says, time waits for no one. I'm like, yeah, I like that one too, because this moment that we have, April, we will never be able to get it back again. And so those are two quotes that I'm happy that my kids are listening to. But I also incorporate that also with, when it comes to like negotiations and talking to stakeholders and, the frame of mind in which do you think this project is going to succeed or if is it going to fail? Because if the team feels that we need to start there, we need to change that before we can continue with the rest of it, right? So there's so many other avenues with those sayings that to incorporate. There's my answer.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, it's like time waits, or what was it? Time waits for no one.
Time waits for no one.
Time waits for no one. It's so true. We're never gonna get this back, which is equal parts scary and equal parts motivating.
Well, and I just think about it, it's like, well, how are you handling your time? Are you on a project that you love or that you hate? Life is too short for you to be on a project that you don't like. Yet, there's the opposite side of it too, is that it could be a new challenge for you too, because if you're not challenged, you're not growing. So maybe this project that might be tough for you right now is a way for you to practice your communication skills, practice your negotiation skills, and for you to get better at it. So again, change your mind, change your result.
Oh, I love that one too. Yeah. Change your mind, change your result. I think it's so true. And change your behavior and sometimes change your mind. Anyway.
And change is constant. So if you don't like change, I bet you anything you didn't do the same thing that you did yesterday. That's what is a change, right?
Yeah, we're going to be in trouble if we can't figure out how to adapt. That's
Oh,
for
yes.
sure.
And especially in our field, there's so many things changing with technology, right?
So fast. Well, Raz, is there
That's why I love it.
anything that you want to leave the audience with?
Well, I would just invite everybody to just hop onto the website, do the assessment, and also join us on the webinar. And of course, if you have questions, April, I really love this opportunity and what you're doing with this podcast. I think it is amazing to have this avenue of voices of people to that you interview and just really, put the human part of technology, because sometimes we just get into technology so much. We forget the human part. So I really appreciate what you're doing. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, Roz.